It's in the news today, but it was actually on TV Reload, the podcast, last week.
Hey guys, welcome back to TV Reload. I want to thank you for clicking and downloading on today's episode with Stephen K. Amos, the latest eliminated celebrity from I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here for 2024. This international, renowned funny man was an absolute joy in the camp this year, providing endless stories and entertainment for all of his campmates every day. Stephen wowed the campmates with his endless tales of famous faces that he's encountered, his origins in the comedy scene, and a hilarious emergency that saw him turn his beloved Porsche into a portaloo. However, it was Stephen's ability to share some of his home truths with the camp, opening up about his experiences of racial violence. I do quickly want to point out that Stephen's choice of charity was Banksia Palliative Care Services, which is a non-for-profit that provides essential 24-hour holistic palliative care and support to children and adults living with progressive and terminal illnesses. Stephen will reveal if he had been asked to do the UK version of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and also he explains the difference between the countries and how their shows differ. We will get a tease of what sort of jungle content we can expect to see in his upcoming comedy show and why he might lose a few of his new friends. I will also talk about his relationship with Australian comedians and find out if his previous established relationship with Julia Morris helped him get on the show. I'm also going to talk about how this show has changed him for life and what sort of changes he's going to make in his life moving forward. There's actually so much to unpack with Stephen K, so sit back and relax as we unpack his time in the South African jungle. Hi, Stephen, how are you?
I'm very well. Is that Ben?
Yes, it is. It is Ben.
Ben Norris, right?
Yes.
One of my oldest friends in the UK, a comedian, is called Ben Norris.
I hate him. He's got my name. He keeps trying to bump me off all of these programs.
I thought you might be him.
I'm Australia's version of Ben Norris, but can I tell you that for a very long time, if you typed in my name, up came a very handsome photo of me. And now when you type in my name, it's your old mate from overseas. Got to get rid of him.
I hear you. I'll have a word with him. I'll get him to change his name by deed poll. But I'm happy with my name, Stephen K. Amos, an anagram of which is the spokesman, by the way.
Amazing. Amazing. I do like that. I hadn't put that together, but I'm glad you've pointed it out. Well, congratulations on surviving the jungle, but also surviving living with Australian celebrities.
I know. That was one of the weird things about going into the jungle, because I literally knew nobody. Obviously, I'd seen Malcolm in the Middle, so I knew who Frankie was, but I didn't know him. I also knew who Tristan was, so I'd done the Studio 10 program that he used to host, but I literally had no idea who anyone else was. I felt like a duck out of water. I was thrown in literally at the deep end and had to get to know people from scratch, which in a weird way was an advantage. I had no preconceived ideas about anybody.
Did you ask one of the producers if you could wear like a little earpiece so they could talk into your ear and say, right, you're talking to Sky. She's an influencer. She was on Big Brother.
Do you know what? I should have done that. But there was something about getting to know people from the start.
True.
And I think that's what we've all lost that kind of human touch, that human connection, because we're so addicted to this little device in our hand, a mobile phone. And that's the genius of this show, actually, because you're forced to have conversations and forced to get to know people with a phone in hand. There's so many other distractions we could easily use. I mean, how many times have you been in a restaurant or a bar and you've seen a group of friends chatting to each other, and some of them are literally on their phones not being present?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you wouldn't know this. I did a series of Big Brother and I was in there for 4 months. And so I had no phone for 4 months. And after about 3 months, I decided in my mind that when they gave me my phone back, I wouldn't want it. I was like living off the land. I'm hanging up all electronic equipment, you know. But very quickly, you will get back, you know, to being in love with your phone again.
Oh, do you know what, Ben? I'm going to say this now. I'm going to make sure that I spend at least 1 or 2 days a month where I put my phone down, because it was so cathartic. And I don't want to be that person that loses everything that I've learned or that has really enhanced who I am from my experience in the jungle. We don't need to be on our phones 24/7. Nothing is that important.
No.
Think about it from my point of view. We had no access to the news. I mean, I watch the news on a regular basis because that helped me with being across what's happening in the world culturally that I can maybe make jokes about or reference about.
Mm.
But in my 4 weeks in that jungle, nothing mattered. You know, of course, we want to keep in touch with our friends and our family. But you know what? I don't need to scroll through TikTok. I don't need to scroll through Facebook. Nothing is that important.
Especially watching other people. And I mean, it is an enormous amount of sort of navel gazing is what you call it. But you know what? I wanted to ask you, you know, there are so many international versions of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Is this the first time you've been asked to do one of them? Because, I mean, you would be not out of place being in the UK one or the American version. I want to know.
I have been asked to take part in other versions, but what attracted me to the Australian version is, as far as I'm aware, it's not about conflict. You don't seem to throw people in there that you know sparks are going to fly. I'm not about conflict in my day-to-day life. I don't really want to be on a TV show where it's designed for me to be annoyed with somebody. If it happens naturally through the course of events, fine. But if you put me in the jungle with someone whose political and aspirational way of life is completely different to mine, that is a starting point is very difficult. And I understand that there is also a level of respect that we go into these shows with. I want to have that respect for my fellow campmates and not have a preconceived notion of who they are, what their beliefs are, and therefore be on the back foot straight away.
Okay, so who out of these two people would you prefer to go into the jungle with? Let's just say, because now you've got the taste for it, you decide to do the UK one. What about Katie Hopkins or Meghan Markle? Which one of those two?
I would love to be in the jungle with Meghan Markle.
Okay.
Because I think that she can give me or us an insight into what she's actually been through. Not what the press say about her, not what people's opinions are about her. But then Katie Hopkins, she's known for being, you know, very opinionated.
Yeah.
And you know what? We've all got opinions. I don't need to be around yours 24/7. Because the benefit of the life that we all live is that I don't have to listen to you. I can switch off my ears. But if I'm stuck in a place where we have to talk to each other, oh my goodness, Katie, rein it in. Rein your neck in, love.
What about Skye, though? Because, like, Skye, I mean, she's a fan favorite. She's probably going to take this whole thing out, and people love her. But I have myself spent about 72 hours with her in a row, and I rang her mum and got her mum to pick her up from my house and to take her home because I was done. Did you wish that you had the luxury of calling Skye's mum at any point and asking for her to be taken home?
You know, I'll be perfectly honest, no. Oh. Of all the people you mentioned, Skye was not the one I wished I could ring their mum. There were a couple of people in there that I do wish I could call their mum, but Skye was not one of them. Skye, I found to be so pure, so genuine and so honest, and also willing to give anything a try and also learn. And she made me laugh. That woman has got a pure heart. I can't say that for everybody, but
Don't worry, Stephen. You would know this, but Denise Drysdale is actually I grew up with her.
I had no idea about that connection. And I've got to say, Denise did not pull any punches. She knew exactly what was going on, and she knew what she was going to do, what she didn't want to do. And we had a connection because both in show business, both work in comedy, and both of a certain age. And the knowing glances kept coming back and forth between myself and Denise.
I love her for that. I mean, I grew up with it. Like when she was offering Khan instructions on how to fix the fire and he didn't take that very well, I was like, that's how I grew up. Denise was very to the point. She didn't beat around the bush. She gave you very clear instructions and you were able to actually finish the task that she would give you because of the clarity of it. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely, Ben. There's nothing worse than too many cooks spoiling the broth. One person take charge, say what we need to do, and let's execute it. That's what we missed when Khan left. That's what we missed when Denise left. Because, I don't know if you saw the day after Khan left, and we all were too many chefs in the kitchen. I was like, mate, just be quiet. You didn't do this when Khan was here. You won't know this when Denise was here. What's wrong with you people?
Yeah, because those two are quite frightening. But, you know, quickly, I wanted to ask you, you know, you have become this fan favorite. It's a shocked Australia. I don't even think you've been given your phone back, so you wouldn't know, but people are outraged that you were eliminated. I don't think we've seen anyone being as outraged, like a celebrity that's had this much outrage. And poor Brittany Hockley, everyone's like pointing the finger at her and saying, you get out of here. They want her gone. And I'm like, I need to ask you this. What's the relationship like with Brittany Hockley inside the camp? Because Australia doesn't seem like they've connected as genuinely to her as they have to you.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know what's been shown. I haven't seen any of the series at all. I only got out yesterday. But what I was doing for myself, I was putting my heart on my sleeve. I thought, yes, I do comedy. It's very niche. area, and so therefore I want the rest of Australia to see what I'm about. I'm a black British man of Nigerian heritage, and I'm going to be honest. I don't have a huge social media following like Britney does, and maybe it's social media following that it's backing certain people, but all I wanted to do in that jungle was to be my authentic self, and if that came through, I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud to have mentioned the things I did mention. I'm also very proud to be supporting the charity Banksia Palliative Care Service. And yeah, people saw that. Brilliant. As far as I'm concerned, the program and the editors will only screen what people do and say. If they don't say it and don't do it, they won't show it.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, you've sort of touched on a few things there. As a comedian, you've only ever really been able to sort of choose what you want to share with us. And by doing a show like this, where it's kind of warts and all, and you're relinquishing the control of what people are going to see to some producers, were you nervous? And did you try and censor yourself at all when talking about really personal issues? Because you did talk about them, and that was kind of, I think, the magic of who you were in this show.
Yes, I do appreciate that comment, because I went in this show, I thought I was going to be guarded. I thought I was going to not let my armor down. But when you're in a space where there are people around you who are respectful, who are asking questions that come from a good place, and when there's nothing to do, you do find yourself letting down your guard and being vulnerable. And I didn't expect it from me. That wasn't my plan. But, you know, after a week, after 3 days in that space, I found myself being free, because the others were also being free. I'm not sure if I got to know Brittany very well, but most of the others, I think I did get to know quite well. And I really appreciated the time that they gave me.
Yeah.
And their listening ears.
Peter Dacos also mentioned to you that he was being funny, very Peter Dacos, but he said, if you mention me in any of your comedy acts, that his legal people will be onto you. I would want to know, though, because I don't think Peter Dacos would even end up in your material, but have you started to think about how you're going to use this experience in your shows?
100%, Ben. The only thing I was missing in that jungle was my dictaphone or my voice notes, my mobile phone, or a pen and a pad to write down notes, because I'm furiously just thinking, my God, that's a funny thing. I hope I remember that. But honestly, when I come back to Australia in a couple of days' time, the show that I was planning to do will definitely change, because I'll be revealing warts and all. Who knows? I might even lose a few of the friends I've just made.
You just got my, you know what? I'm going to be really honest. Up until this point, I was like, you know, when you come to Melbourne, I'm going to come and see it. You know, the way that, you know, your mates say that they're going to come and see your show. But now that you've said that, I am front row. I am top dollar. I want to be there.
Honestly, it's going to be warts and all. People may be surprised, because, you know, I saw some things and I heard some things that I'm pretty certain didn't make the edit. And I'll reveal all.
Do you know, the only thing that I would say that you'd want to have a forever little porthole back into the jungle was to maybe watch Callum Hole showering every day. To me, that sounds like something I personally would never forget and be happy to have living rent-free in my mind forever.
Do you know what? Because I knew that he was standing there behind me a couple of times in the nude. I mean, I'm not that confident. I don't want to scare people. So I couldn't turn around. And I can imagine if I was nude in the shower
with
people at home watching, I'd probably take their eyes out. That's right. Some stereotypes I can live with.
Just before you go, I wanted to ask you, with your experience of being here in Australia and doing so many comedy shows, who are your mates in Australia that you've connected with in the comedy circuit? Because you do all spend quite a lot of time together. Who are the ones that are quite genuine that you like?
We've got so many good mates across the comedy scene. People think that comedians are very competitive, but you know what? We're not. It's not a massive community. And a lot of well-known comics in Australia, I knew back in the UK when a lot of them were doing some stuff over there. So I will count Tom Gleason as a friend. Tiffy Flanagan as a friend, Dave Hughes, Julian Morris, Dave Thornton.
Did Julia get Naveen you into the show? That's a good question to ask you. Did she pull a few strings? Is that how you ended up in the show?
No, and I'm not even joking. A couple of weeks ago, in February, I was in Adelaide and I saw Pete Hellier and I saw Nazim, and I definitely wanted to ask them about their experience of being in the jungle, but I couldn't. And no, I couldn't speak to Junior. I didn't want to give her a heads up. I didn't want to give me any tips. So I went in totally cold. But one of the biggest friends of mine, who I was hoping that maybe they'd feature some of it in my time in the jungle, was the lovely Cal Wilson, who was with me and was a very good support for me at a time in my life back 10 years ago when I needed it. And I know she had the jungle experience and the outpouring of love and grief when we lost Cal last year was just a testament to what a beautiful soul she was, and we'll be sorely missed.
And she always will be. Yeah. I think she's immortalized. I've been in this industry for a very long time, and I've met a lot of people, and I don't think I've ever heard anyone say a bad word about Cal. She knew everyone. She had a lot of FaceTime with people. Anyway, this podcast is about you, my friend. This is all about you. I need to finish off by asking, who do you think is going to win? Not who you think. So actually, who do you want to win? I think that's a more interesting question.
That's a very interesting question. I really would like two people to come out on top.
No, just go one. You can't do that.
Go one?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Who do I want to win? I want Tristan to win.
Okay. Yeah, he's a genuine.
Because I think he's such a genuine guy. What you see is what you get. He was dubbed the voice of reason in the jungle for a reason. Very calm, very good in a stressful situation, and a team leader as well. What a man. What a wonderful, wonderful man.
I filmed a show with him once, and I was in a green room with him for about 2 hours. You know, when they put you in a green room forever when they're filming a TV show, and you look at who's in the green room, and you think, oh, fuck, I've got to talk to this person, this bloody jot for the next half an hour. Anyway, we were in there for ages while they were setting up. It was Hughesy, We Have a Problem, so Dave Hughes' show. So I spent an afternoon with Tristan. This is about 5 years ago, mind you, and he was delightful and good to look at as well.
Yes, he's a very lovely man, and he let his hair grow, didn't shave, and looks like a rugged James Bond. But I've got a feeling Australia might go for the big personalities, you know, your Callums, but you know, if there is any justice in the world, it'll go to Tristan.
Okay, great. I have to wrap up, but the last thing I ask anyone who joins my podcast, and I'm so delighted, let me tell you, that you have been on my podcast. Like, there's some people you think you'd never get the chance to speak to. So this is so exciting for me.
Thank you, Ben. And honestly, Ben, I'm going to be in Melbourne in about 3 weeks.
I'll be there.
So do make sure we keep in touch somehow, and you have to come to the gig.
I will be
there. As you said, be in the front row. And I'll tell some secrets for a drink after the show.
I'm taking you out for a drink, buddy. But yeah, I think that I'm taking you up on that offer. But just before you go, what is something from behind the scenes of what it's like to be a celebrity that gets asked to do the show? Now, I'm fully aware that you don't know what we have seen, but what about something that is kind of like a behind the scenes secret of when you get asked to do the show?
Well, when you get asked to do a show like this, a couple of things go through your mind. You think, A, why? Is there some sort of secret plan? Do they want to expose you for something? And then you kind of think, it's a challenge. What a challenge it would be to go into a situation where you are devoid of any electronics, no word from the outside world, from friends or family or news. Can you cope? Can you cope surviving on the basics that we need to survive? Basic food, basic sleeping conditions, at one with nature. Can you do it? Doesn't matter what age you are. And if you can do that, you can do anything.
That is amazing. And you, my friend, are amazing. You are now an Australian legend, a global legend before, but now an Australian legend. And I think everyone has opened their hearts to you. And I really can't wait to see what doors open for you from this experience, because I kind of feel like out of everyone in there, you have the most to offer, and you're going to be welcomed the most, if that's possible.
Oh, that's such a lovely thing to say. Thank you very much. As I said, I tried to be my authentic self. I don't normally have an opportunity to open up like I did on this program. And I'm so grateful to the producers and the behind the team folk who let that happen. Because as I say, I've got no idea what they showed. And, you know, after 3 days, you cannot be anything but be yourself. And if that showed, I'm very humble and grateful for the opportunity to speak for the charity that I was rooting for. And long may this continue.
Of course. You know, I mean, you could have taken a lot of people out of this show and it would have been the same show, but I will finish on saying it wouldn't have been the same series without you. So thank you. I have to let you go because they're going to shove you in a car and take you somewhere else. Hopefully without a blindfold and hopefully somewhere where they're going to give you something good to eat.
Thank you very much, Ben. And I'll see you very soon in a few
weeks. Take care of yourself.